Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our paper 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon, and with me is my good friend and NFL draft analyst Ryan Roberts. And today we're wrapping up our position rankings, and then eventually the next show coming up is going to be our collective big board. We're going to do a final mock draft, and then the 2024 NFL draft is going to be here before we know it. Now, we're expecting to, plan is we're going to be live to some capacity on the Hack City channel during the draft, so stay tuned for an official determination on what we're going to be doing there. We're doing quarterbacks today. I wanted to get to this position group much sooner. Certain things have gotten in the way of us being able to do it.
You're lying to everyone. You literally did not want to get to this one.
I'm just kidding.
Well, no. I deliberately wanted it to be, last, but I wanted this to get published like over a month ago. But
stuff happens, man.
Life got
content out there, though. A lot of great content.
We're probably the
last. Not just good content, great content out there. Yeah.
Sure. We're probably the last draft pod or just NFL pod in general to
probably
do back right.
Who cares?
I mean, probably. I guess if we're not first, we might as well be the most recent one. I almost was debating, Ryan, before we get into this, I was almost debating that we just do 1 through 6 because the rest don't matter.
That's not nice.
Maybe a 1 through 8. Maybe a 1 through 8. The rest after 8 is.
Hey,
like,
man,
okay,
we still have some guys later in the top 10 and maybe even into after the top 10 for 1 or 2 that might stick in the NFL, man. So don't you stop. Why did they come to this podcast, Joe? They can go to any podcast to hear the mainstream names. We're here to give you the most clear analysis of the entire class. That's what we strive for here at First Team. You are ruining the vision right now, sir, by diminishing this class. All right, stop doing that. I know you're a Giants fan and you don't know what good quarterback play looks like, but let's give the people what they want. Let's give them what they want, Joe.
Officially, Ryan, here's my 10 through 6. Number 10, Devin Leary from Kentucky. Number 9, Joe Milton from Tennessee. Number 8, Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. Number 7, Michael Pratt from Tulane. And then number 6, Michael Penix from Washington. Thoughts?
Joe. Joe Milton? Top 10 quarterback in the class? Joe Milton?
I mean, I didn't think there's not a lot to pick from, Ryan. This
he
is
didn't
not
finish
a situation
in my top 10.
Of,
he did not finish top 10.
Man, you really hate him. You
I really like him as an athlete. He's an NFL athlete. He's not an NFL quarterback. He's just not. He's just not. I don't even think he's a backup in the NFL as a quarterback. Just don't think so.
Here's my very succinct reasoning.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot to pick from, and he's the biggest and best athlete out of the bunch. So at the very, very least, there is a chasm of a world because he's such an elite athlete compared to the other guys that he could pan out. You know, he could be a really good, I think at the most though, really good backup that is used as a situational quarterback. And I think there's value to that.
So Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I think that there is value to that. And look at the contracts that Taysom Hill got. So I don't think it's – I'm shocked here. I thought that maybe there was a chance that you'd be at the same spot as me, if not maybe higher because of the traits.
11. He was 11. If I would cut one guy off the list, he would have been in the list. So he's 11. He's 11 for me. The other one, Michael Penix at number 6, huh? So that means – means you're. I'm not going to spoil your top 5. I'm not going to spoil your top 5.
But, I mean, it's obvious who. But
yes, we're gonna have a deep conversation about that when we get to the top 5s. So we'll get there, sir. We'll get there. Okay, 10 for 6. Are we working there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Number 10, Devin Leary, Kentucky, formerly of NC State. Number 9, Jordan Travis from Florida State. Number 8, Spencer Rattler, South Carolina. Number 7, Michael Pratt from Tulane. And number 6, J.J. McCarthy, Michigan.
Wow, you went all in on the anti-J.J. train. See, like, I we'll wait to get to J.J. McCarthy. The only thing that I want to get on, Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I can really get behind him. He's got such a lean frame. He got hurt so easily against North Alabama. And I feel like that he's a good athlete. The traits mm-hmm. aren't necessarily there. And then for a guy that's lean, not the biggest arm, you'd want him to be accurate. And he seems like he's spraying the ball all over the board sometimes.
He reminds me a lot of Tyrod Taylor. And Tyrod Taylor has found a niche in the NFL as a key reserve backup. He does also not have a big arm, but he's a really creative player. He's a good athlete. And mm-hmm. I think Jordan Travis could have a sticking point as a backup quarterback in the NFL. He's never going to be a starter like Tyrod was during the course of his career, in my opinion. But at the end of the day, I'm willing to bet on Jordan Travis over Joe Milton as far as just sticking at the quarterback position. Joe Milton could very well end up, to your point, being that gadget type of big athlete that maybe throws the football occasionally, like a Taysom Hill, mm-hmm. right? But I just don't think he's a full-time quarterback on the NFL level. I think that, and again, people hate this conversation, but I think it's more likely Joe Milton in 4 years is a NFL tight end than he is an NFL quarterback. Like, I truly, truly.
I don't disagree.
So, yeah. So Jordan Travis as a quarterback, I think, is a better option on the NFL level than Joe Milton is.
Well, if we were just doing a list of guys that were most likely to stick in the NFL, I think that Joe Milton certainly would be higher up on the list, because at the very least, he would succeed very well as a tight end, which shouldn't be, you know, it's not an inappropriate take to have. There have been predecessors ahead of him. Logan Thomas is the first guy that I think of. Tyree Jackson from Buffalo is very similar. Joe Milton might be a little bit like lower down in terms of like where he was coming into the league compared to Logan Thomas as just a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Joe Milton, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. I don't want to get too deep on this. I don't want to waste our time. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, even the other guy clicked my tweet was Felipe Franks, very similar player to Joe Milton, by the
yes.
way. Even he,
yes.
for the Atlanta Falcons, eventually they were like, you know what? You got to play tight end, not quarterback. So, yeah.
All right, my number 5 to get us rolling here. Yep. As you mentioned, I do have Bo Nix from Oregon. Now, I like Michael Penix, and I think that Michael Penix has got a live arm, and his touch mm-hmm. on the sideline is unbelievable. I'm trying right. my best to not get super hung up on the injury stuff, but I think for him, his inability to consistently throw the ball over the middle of the field is a problem. It's not good enough right now for me to say I can have him contribute as a rookie. I think right. that for how important it is to throw the ball over the middle of the field in the NFL, he's not going to be able to get away with what he did at Washington in the league. So it's going to take him some time. Conversely, I think that Bo Nix is the highest floor. I think he is a better version of Kenny Pickett when he came into the league. He is a better athlete than Kenny Pickett. He's got a slightly better arm than Kenny Pickett. And he's got that same sense in where they're both high floor, that really good, decisive, reactive decision maker. Gets the ball out right. quickly, puts the ball in space, sets up his guys to succeed. I think a team in the first round is going to sell themselves on that and say, like, you know what? He's not one of the sexy names. We're not getting a guy that we think is going to be a future all pro. But if we just get a little steadiness, a little bit of consistency, the Denver Broncos seem like they're the best candidate to end up with Bo Nix. But to this point, he played for the past 2 years, his best two seasons in an offense that didn't necessarily ask him to do anything too complicated. A lot of first read stuff, a lot of just get the ball.
So like J.J. McCarthy or, okay. Sure, all right. Sorry. Yes. Okay.
Well, okay, wait. There's a much more different volume of throws between Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. Okay. And at the same time, this would be an hour long show if we compared everybody to everybody. All yes. I'm saying, though, is that the reason why I have him lower down is because mm-hmm. he wasn't exactly asked to do a lot. So I'm a little worried, just like I was with Kenny Pickett coming into the league, that he could jump mm-hmm. in and he could not be a guy that's able to wrap his head around a more complex situation, multiple reads, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, I had to start this conversation, or to, I guess, end the conversation on Bo Nix. I had him at number four because of the high floor that he brings to the table. It is astounding, and I feel like people don't talk about this enough because they've just known the name Bo Nix for so long now, but to go from what he was his first couple years with Auburn to become what he has been the last 2 years for Oregon, he went from he didn't give a shit gunslinger in his Auburn career to one of the more sound decision makers in the 2020 NFL draft. It has been a almost miraculous ascension as far as stylistically, right? So I am betting on Bo Nix the floor. Now, that being said, he didn't have a first round grade for me. Like, literally, there's three quarterbacks that have a first round grade. Bo Nix is not one of them. I think he's good quarterback, good, solid. He will keep you afloat. Is there a reality where he's just a stopgap, where he's a guy that gets replaced at some point because it's just not exciting enough? Sure, it's possible, but that wins out over a couple of these guys that I think have higher ceilings, but the floor is just not there for me personally. Number five, as we kind of get back into the flow a little bit, Michael Penix Jr. from Washington is number five for me. Joe, I agree with everything you said in the sense of older quarterback, going to be 24 as a rookie. What's the ceiling on him at this point? He's got some injury concerns in the past, although he's been healthy the last 2 years for Washington for the most part. And the middle of the field accuracy is very spotty, to say the least. But he's very tough in the pocket. He doesn't take a ton of sacks. Gets the ball out well. Very, very accurate on the outside the numbers, man. He kind of paints pictures out there, right? Like, he is a really crafty passer in that sense. Again, day two player for me. Not a guy I would draft in the first round, Michael Penix. But if I'm talking about a guy that I know will sit in the pocket, deliver a ball, get the ball out, and can be accurate outside the numbers in the right system, in an air raid-ish system, maybe like a Cliff Kingsbury-esque. Again, I'm not saying he's going number two to Washington, but in like that style of system, I think that he could be somewhat successful in the NFL. So number five, Michael Penix Jr., and the number four, I Bo Nix.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, where the game starts. I already kind of gave my thoughts on Michael Penix, but it sounds like we're on the same page on where he fits, where he could, I mean, he could be a really good NFL starter. You know, he does have the traits to be like a real threat and to be a really good player. It's just one, the concerns of him being consistently available, even if a lot of people talk about the knee, the shoulder stuff, which I do all the time when I get asked about it on radio spots, but I also don't even do a good job of bringing this up. He got banged up really quickly in the national championship game, and it hindered him the whole game. So one part of me kind of wonders, does he have the frame to withstand a lot of contact? Most of the season, he didn't get hit, but the minute that he was placed in a situation where he was facing a defensive line that was getting after him and deliberately attacking him, he was banged up pretty quickly. So I think that there should be some fear there. And I think that certainly the NFL is going to have a little bit of fear there. So to now start the conversation on JJ McCarthy, he's number four for me. As much as I have, and I just did a segment for Reach saying that JJ McCarthy is one of my overrated players in this class.
Yes.
I think that it is fair to sit here and say that he is overrated in the sense that he is not worthy of going in the top five or the top two, as some people have depicted.
Or the
but
top 10.
or the top 10. But conversely, this is still a guy who has the traits, and I see the ceiling. I see what he could be. You know, he's worthy of a first-round pick, a mid to late first-round pick. But because of this momentum, it's made this undigestible for me to listen to all of the overhype on him. It kind of takes it away from me. And maybe this is part of the camp that doesn't like JJ McCarthy, where if that version of his analysis where they're overhyping him was removed and we were a little bit more cautious and saying, this is a risky player, but he could pan out, I think we'd be having a much more competent conversation on him. Just to quickly get to his traits that I like.
Right.
He's big. He's strong. He's very mobile. He's a really good runner, more than people give him credit for. I think that he is able to make an array of difficult throws. I think that he can deliver the ball and drive the ball down the field, across the field, on the run. I just don't love the fact that he's got such a small sample size of throws, was not called upon, and more importantly, does not have difficult situations where he was the one who was asked, hey, we need you to put the team on your back. It was always the running game. All these other guys ahead of him that we're about to talk about, and some of the guys behind him, had to put the team on his back, on their back, and go and win a football game. He doesn't really have that.
I feel like we don't see him much differently. I think that he is a good investment on day two. Right? That's what I think he is. Unfortunately, in this class, we have buoyed him up, or as a collective, have pushed him up because he's tall, white, and a winner, unquote. Right? Put that in the quotes, that he's a winner, right?
He went to a good academic school.
Which, the winner thing matters. Don't get me wrong. It matters. Winning football games is, at the end of the day, what you are judged by, right? So being a winner is a good thing. But the cliches and the intangible stuff that you throw out about JJ are all people talk about. And they don't ever talk about the fact that there were some games where he just makes some absolutely doofus decisions, man. Like, just some stupid decisions. And you can't, and then we can't talk about the fact that in one of the biggest football games of the year against Penn State, the last half of that football game, the coaching staff didn't trust him enough to throw the football after the first half in a one score football game. That stuff matters, man. And I think that stuff is really telling. Can JJ become a good quarterback on the NFL level? I think so. Yeah. It'll take time. It'll take a couple years, but I think the reality is there. But I just don't think that he's a top 10 pick. I just don't. I don't see it right now, man. If we're drafting him in the top 10, Joe, we're saying, JJ, you got to play in year one, brother. And you got to help this team. And you got to be that guy. And I just don't know if he's that guy right now. Good intangibles. Won a lot of football games. 27-1. There's a lot of good. And JJ McCarthy has good tools to work with. There's a lot of work with there. Right. It's top 10 pick. Nah, man, I just can't get there with JJ. I just really can't.
The only the only counterpoint I'd quickly add in is that he doesn't have enough throws to like really determine what his decision making could be. So that's why like I'm a little optimistic that it eventually he could pan out and he could put it together. Right. You shared your number four. So my number three is Jaden Daniels from LSU. I think that Jaden Daniels is one of the more gifted athletes that we've put into the NFL at the quarterback position. I think that he is going to be an immediate impact as a rusher. I think he is a candidate to be an 800-yard ball carrier. And more importantly, because he's such a good athlete, it makes him even harder to defend and is going to make him an even better passer. I think that he could step into the league and have the same impact that Lamar Jackson did in his rookie year where – you know, wasn't 100% consistent as a passer, but was so hard to stop as a rusher. They were able to make it to the playoffs and they were a really, really good football team that year. My only wariness, and I think that Jaden Daniels is going to go higher than where I have him slotted at three, is just the frame and the fact that he gets hit so much. And for some reason, and look, I do my show with Blake. I love Blake. And we argue about this. This stuff gets constantly pushed out of the conversation when we're talking about him. But he hasn't exactly been like super consistently healthy. Like he has gotten banged up in the past 2 years. I worry that bigger, stronger dudes start hitting him. Dexter Lawrence crushes him on one play. What's going to happen? Because he's thin framed, you know, like even if he does have the weight, he doesn't have the weight, but he's generally pretty thin framed. So I'm a little worried about the size because that stuff needs to be brought up. A perfect example is RG3 and how quickly he got hurt and how unavailable he constantly was.
Well, Jaden came in to the pro day and weighed at 210 pounds, and I could not care less about that because I knew that he played around 200 to 205 pounds somewhere in that ballpark, and it was hard for him to keep that weight on. So him showing up to the pro day at 210 with water weight doesn't tell me anything. That is my biggest concern about Jaden Daniels, Joe, is I thought Jaden made huge strides in 2023 as far as being a more consistent passer inside of structure, going 1-2, backside 3, being able to manipulate with his eyes. And then obviously he always was a great athlete. There was no doubt about that one. So I actually have Jaden at number 2. And we've had this conversation deeply before. I think that there was a tier in this year's draft, in my opinion, and Jaden Daniels and Drake May are in that second tier. I prefer Jaden at this point just because I think that the pro readiness and the floor is going to elevate him a little bit because, and this kind of goes right into my number 3 here. I have Drake May at number 3, Joe, because, and again, first round grade, I think that he has potential to be a face of a franchise. I think that he has that type of upside, but man, he makes some troubling decisions at times, like just some decisions where you're just kind of shaking your head, man. Like, I don't know if you just locked in on your first read or if you have trouble reading underneath coverage at times, but there's just some throws where I'm just like, I don't understand that decision. I don't understand why your eyes are there. From a talent perspective, very, very reminiscent of Justin Herbert. I mean, it really is. I mean, he's got the same size, the same frame. He's a good athlete. He's got an incredibly strong arm. All the tools are there for Drake. I'm a little worried of the regression 2023, not from production because it was never going to be the same as it was the year before, but of the little aspects of playing the game, getting through reads, getting off of your first read, do not forcing the ball into underneath coverage. Like, there were just some things that gave me pause with Drake, but I'm in on the upside. It's just the floor that worries me a little bit with Drake May.
I understand the floor concerns. I also think, though, that the reason why I have these guys so close is that Jaden Daniels' floor is also maybe lower than people want to admit. Drake is number 2 for me. I'm really banking on the upside. I just, his best plays, I see a natural playmaker. And I made this mistake last year where I admonished CJ Stroud way too much. And I criticized CJ Stroud way too much. And I just believe that Drake May is the perfect example of if he shows a naturalness and playmaking ability, it eventually is going to show up if he develops. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make plays. And then all you need him to do is make enough plays as a rookie to build some confidence and then eventually get better, just like CJ Stroud did, just like Justin Herbert did. Sure. Any other final thoughts before? I know you got to get out of here, but should we move to Caleb Williams?
Let's go to Caleb Williams, man. Let's bang that one out because this is probably the easiest one that we have here.
Yeah, well, this should never be a debate. This shouldn't be a debate. I understand the whole thought of, yes, this guy is not super, what's the word? He's not conventional.
Likeable?
At all. Oh. Forget the all. Him being as much of a dick as he's been over the past month has made me like him more. I don't know what it is. I kind of like the vibe, and maybe that's because I'm also an asshole. I like that he's pissing everybody off, and I think that it is making me support him more. He's not conventional. He at times will over-improvise, and I think that that needs to be coached out of him. But there is just a gift for this guy in how easy he makes the position look. The Heisman Trophy season and then spurts of last year are proof that he could be an MVP. Like, that shouldn't be a hot take. He has the ability. It's just, can he get the certain bad habits coached out of him?
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, everything is there, right? Everything is there. He's got a strong frame. He's able to shake off defenders inside the pocket. He's an absolute magician as a thrower, man. Some of the more natural arm talent you're ever going to see. The ability to layer the football, the ability to throw off platform, the ability to throw from different arm angles. It's all there, man. He's super creative. Now, the Patrick Mahomes comps are not fair to him, right? They're not fair. But there are some players just from a throwing style perspective, right? Like, there are some things there that you can look at.
He's taller, Kyler Murray. I still stand by that comp, by the way.
I hate that, man. Kyler Murray was such a good athlete. He's a better athlete than Caleb Williams. But all right, you're stalling here, Joe. Stalling here to the point. Sorry. This kid has special ability. He could be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL in 3 years. Like, he has that type of upside to him. The only pause I have, or the main pause I have,
is the support system that's around him a little bit. There's some things there that I'm really worried about, but if he is laser focused and locked in and falls to a good situation, which I think the Chicago Bears can be with the picks that they have around him, I think he could be rookie of the year. I think that he could be a top five quarterback in 2 to 3 years, or in 3 years, I should say, in the NFL. I think he has superstar potential. It's just about putting him in the right situation and letting him be himself without letting other people get in the way of that, right? So he has all the upside in the world, special talent of a thrower of the football.
Folks, thanks for joining us on this journey. We're going to be doing our big board episode next, so stay tuned at Joe DeLeon at Rise and Draft. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll talk to you later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.